So, good morning, everybody. How many of you guys did not get one of these little puzzle pieces? Did not. Everybody got one. All right. I figured so. So, before we get into the sermon, I want to bring up one thing. Dalton, if you'd put that picture of the reach. There you go. So for the month of May, or excuse me, July, we're in July, right? For the month of July, all day long, we do a thing for those that are new here today. We are redeeming social media at New Freedom Church, and we do that through the by way of Facebook. And what we do, we've teamed up with a ministry called Reach. And Reach partners every month with a particular ministry throughout the world. And we pay a monthly fee to be a part of this ministry. And what we ask you to do, in order for you to share your faith, make Christ known, and to do good, real world good, we ask you to check in into Facebook. Now, a lot of you guys, through this ministry, did not have Facebook, and you got it just so you could check in, and that's about it. And so that's great. And here's what we want to do. This is the last Sunday for July, and we are partnering with a ministry that is called Northwest Haiti Christian Mission. And every time you check in, you provide clean water for an entire week for a whole family in Haiti. Now, if you guys have been to Haiti, you know that clean water is scarce there. And so for a full week, you provide water for a family in Haiti. Now, not only do we do real-world good through checking in every single Sunday, but we also do this. It's also an opportunity for you to share your faith on Facebook by putting hashtag clean water. And then you can put, ask me about clean water. And then what that does is that it opens the dialogue for you to share your faith with people on Facebook. You can private message them. You can put it out in public, however you want to do it. But it gives you an opportunity to put yourself in a position to share your faith, to be missional in every single thing that we do, all right? And so I want to go out in July with a bang. So I want you guys to get in there and to check in on Facebook, hashtag clean water, and ask me about clean water, okay? Or whatever you want to put on there. But they have done research, and their research shows that every time that you check in, 200 people sees your check-in. Amen? Give water, clean water, it doesn't matter. Any way you want to do it. And so we're going to go out with a bang. So far this month, we have provided 98 families clean water for an entire week. You guys give God a clan clap of praise, amen. Thank you so much for being missional with your life. Whatever you have, use it for the glory of God, amen. All right, so want to talk to you guys. We're starting a brand new series. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about how to prepare for personal revival, and I hope and I pray that through those 3 weeks of preparation for revival, God has begun to birth a fire and a fervence in your heart that will never be able to be put out. And so this week, starting this week and for several weeks, we're going to be talking about vital signs of a healthy church. We're going to be talking about uniqueness of each and every person and where we fit in as believers to the corporate body. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the opportunity, the high calling to preach your word today. I thank you for each and every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. Lord, may you anoint them to receive your word. Holy Spirit, bring into our spirit your truth, your word, your revelation, so that we may know that we are uniquely designed for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship freely with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the worship that has gone forth today. And Lord, today, right now, anoint me to preach your word so that we, the body, can be edified and so that we can glorify you with all we say and with all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about vital signs of a healthy church. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be reading verses 14 through 16. It's going to be kind of lengthy, so I'll let you get there. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read an excerpt of a book that that I was reading through the other day called Courageous Leadership. And in this book, the author described the church when it functions correctly. Listen to what he says. He says, "There is nothing like the local church when it is working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to the seekers and offers truth to the confused. It provides resources for those in need and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the disillusioned. Whatever the capacity for human suffering, the church has a greater capacity for healing and wholeness. The radical message of transforming love has been given to the church." That is a beautiful depiction of what the church looks like when it functions correctly. And at New Freedom Church, we strive to function correctly so that God may be glorified and people may be ministered to. Do you guys understand, and you've heard me speak it 1,000 times, that I am not the only anointed minister in this room. You hold the same spirit within your soul that I have within me. The same spirit that lives in me lives in you. There are no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. I know that even in America, in the greatest country that is ever conceived by man, there are social classes, there are pecking orders and so forth, and we get that. But here's the thing, in the body of Christ, you are just as significant as me. Your talents, your treasures, your time, your abilities are just as important as mine. Every one of us have been called to function in the body of Christ wherever that may be. If you are a little toe, then be the best little toe you possibly can be. If you are called to be some phalanges, everybody throw up your phalanges, then be the best phalanges you possibly can be to the glory of God. And we're going to talk about that this morning, all right? So if you're 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 16, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at it. It says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it should not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." Go to the next one. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." Let me read that again. "But in fact, God has arranged." Who has arranged? God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. "If they were all one part, where would the body be?" Go to the next slide. "As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I do not need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I do not need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Did you hear that? That it should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Amen? This is good news. Because as a body, we all have a part to play. God has arranged each part according to His good pleasure. All right? So when you guys came in this morning, you got a puzzle piece. Everybody hold this puzzle piece up. This puzzle piece, you can't see exactly what it is. I went to Walmart today because I forgot to go buy a puzzle. I woke up this morning and the first thing on my mind was a puzzle. And so I had to wake the boys up early. We got scrambled. We went to Walmart and I said, hey, where's the puzzle pieces? They're like, I think it's in the toy section. So we went off down to the toy section and we found these puzzles. And I found the biggest puzzle I possibly could get. It's a 1,000-piece puzzle. I'm sure there's more for some of you puzzle people in here. But here's the thing. If you look at it, everybody look at your puzzle piece. You can't really tell what it is, right? You have just a little piece in there with a little snippet of what this puzzle represents. Each puzzle piece is significant and valuable to the whole picture and is part of God's picture for the church. Each and every one of you, take this home with you and carry it in your purse, carry it in your... Guys, you don't have purses, you have man bags. We understand that. We all know you have man bags. I've got one myself, all right? So put it in your pocket. Put it where you see it each and every day. If you have to glue it to the mirror, glue it to the mirror to make yourself realize and to remind yourself that all of us play a vital role in the body of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you play a vital role. I know some of you guys hate doing that. That's why I make you do it. Remember, we don't want to be comfortable. We don't need to be comfortable, right? It's okay not to be comfortable, but I mean, we don't want to be weird, right? There's a difference between being weird, right? Don't rub your neighbor's hand if it's not your wife or somebody you know, all right? But say, you are valuable to the body of Christ. Each and every one of us are. Did you know that every snapshot in the church, in the New Testament, is a group picture? So today, if I were to take my phone out and do a panoramic of this church, we are a group of people. This church is not made up of one person, but of many parts. So many times pastors run themselves ragged, not because their church makes them, but because they feel like if they don't do it, it will not get done. You guys do not have that type of pastor. If I feel that you can meet a certain need in this church, I will call you and say, hey, listen, I do not have time this week. Can you mow the grass? Well, sure, pastor, I'd love to mow the grass. Where are the keys? What's the combo to the lock? Be glad to mow the grass. Hey, you know what? There's this kid, and I really feel like he wants to go fishing. He doesn't have a daddy, and you go fishing all the time. Could you take this kid fishing and just show him what a loving man looks like? Could you do that? Yeah, pastor, I can do that. I can do that. You can do that because God has uniquely designed each and every one of us to be a part of the body, a functioning part of the body. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how sick you may be. It doesn't matter how poor you may think you are. It doesn't matter how ungifted you feel like you are or how inadequate that you are. You have a vital role to play in the body of Christ. So it's important that we understand and to keep these with us, that even though right now we may not understand what this puzzle piece looks like and we don't know exactly where it fits into the body of Christ, but as we bring our pieces together and have them linked together, then God begins to reveal to us slowly but surely and faithfully His plan and His picture for New Freedom Church. He'll begin to show you where you are uniquely designed to fit in individually. And then he'll show you where you are linked together so that you can not only do life together by yourself and with your spouse, but also as a body, as a whole. That's the beauty of a church. So in the New Testament, it's always a group picture. There are no selfies in the New Testament church. Can somebody say amen? There are no selfies in the New Testament church. It's always a group picture. Yesterday, when we went to Milwaukee to serve in the inner city, at the end of the day, when we were leaving, we went around the sign that said City on a Hill, and we took a group picture. Pastor Jimmy didn't stand in front of the sign and said, "Look what Pastor Jimmy did." By the way, I want to thank Randy for his great job of putting that whole trip together. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to call anybody. I didn't have to email and set anything up. Randy did all the praying. He did all the planning and all of that. And Randy, thank you so much. You did a great job putting that all together. Thank you. I love that. Your pastor loves to fade in the background every once in a while. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll talk to a fence post. That's just the way I am. All right? So if you ask me how I'm doing, you better get ready to have about 5 minutes, because I'm going to tell you, "Hey, man, I'll tell you how I'm doing. This is what we did the other day, and this and this." All right, Pastor, okay, just say fine. We're okay with just saying fine, all right? So, but today I want to paint a picture for you what a functioning, healthy church looks like, the vital signs of a healthy church. Now, there's five different puzzle pieces that I want to talk to you about that are so unique to the body of Christ. We may not get to them today, all of them, but here's the first one. Each piece is a part of a united whole, but is not uniform. Is not uniform. In other words, it's not the same thing. You're not a cookie cutter piece. Each and every one of you are uniquely designed. There's not one piece in this room that matches the other one. It's not the same. We are uniquely designed so that we can do this, so that we can link together perfectly to form the body of Christ, a healthy body of Christ. We see this in verse 14. Look with me. It says, "Now the body is now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." So the word "many" means abundance. It means more and much. How many of you guys have ever read the Peanuts cartoons on the Sunday morning in the paper, right? I want to read to you. Some of you guys probably can't read it. I'll read it to you, but here's the way it goes. This is Lucy and Linus, okay? Linus is minding his own business, okay? Guys, you can relate to this. He's watching TV, right? He's minding his own business. Lucy comes in, gets behind him, and she says, "Switch the channel." She didn't say hello. She didn't say, "How you doing?" She said, "Switch the channel." Then she said, "I said, switch the channels. I want to watch my program." Linus looked back and said, "Are you kidding? What makes you think you can just walk right in here and take over?" She raised up her hand like this and she said, "These five fingers individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Lucy, man, she doesn't play. To which Linus says, "Which channel would you like to watch?" And then she is sitting in the floor and he's behind her sighing. And then he looks at his own fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" You see, that's who we are as a church. This is a picture of how the church is to work together. Individually, we are not much. But when we're curled up into a single unit, we form a weapon that is amazing to behold. Now, I thought about changing the word "weapon" to a unit, but I thought, nah. Listen, the weapons of warfare that we have are mighty, amen? They are weapons that tear down strongholds, right? When believers pray, we don't pray Mickey Mouse prayers. We pray prayers, God, if you would remove this mountain, if you would cast this out of me, if you would deliver my brother and sister in Christ, then I know that you'll do it. We our weapons of warfare are mighty and they tear down strongholds. He does it through shaky prayers. He does it through first-time prayers. You know, people that pray out loud for the first time, God honors those prayers. The matter of fact, Scripture says, let your words be few when you pray. We think that we've got to pray these long, lengthy prayers before God's going to hear us. But if we pray in faith 2 to 3 words, God honors it. He honors it if we come in faith. Amen? So number one, each piece is a part of a unit as a whole. We are united as a whole. We're not just uniform. We're not just cookie cutters. You guys are uniquely designed to be a part of New Freedom Church right now for such a time as this. You are uniquely designed. Number two, each piece is indispensable and not inferior. Look with me at verse 15 and 16. Paul is addressing those who may feel inferior when he said, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Now realize today what he is saying is just because you have negative thoughts about who you are and where you are and where you fit into the body of Christ doesn't mean that you, for that very reason, cease to belong. You belong to the body of Christ. Paul is saying everyone is valuable. Everyone is necessary. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are necessary. You have value. Your story has power to help someone else get through that circumstance themselves. You don't have to say all that. I hear you guys kind of trying to keep up with me, all right? So you don't have to say all that. But all of you guys have a unique value. You are indispensable and you are not inferior. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Have you guys ever been on a plane? Have you guys never been on an airplane? Okay. Well, let's just say that you were looking through Trivago, all right, and you want to go to Hawaii, and you're looking for the cheapest tickets you possibly can find, and all of a sudden, there are tickets that are for sale that look too good to be true. You search it out, and you realize, whoa, I can afford that, and I can go tomorrow, all right? So you purchase these tickets. You go to the airport, you get onto the plane, you're sitting there, you're grinning ear to ear. How many of you guys have ever been to Hawaii? How many of you guys have never been to Hawaii? Yep. We're all sitting on the plane. We're grinning ear to ear, right? We're grinning ear to ear because our tickets only cost us $25 round trip. I'm leaving right now. I'm just leaving. Let's go right now. We're going to Hawaii. We're sitting there. And just like normal, the captain gets on the speaker. And he said, I want to thank you guys for traveling so-and-so today. I know that a lot of you guys received tickets at a very, very special price today. And here's the reason why. We felt it was necessary to do away with all people that you cannot see so that we could cut costs. We let the engineers go and the mechanics go. Let them go. The one who serviced the planes each and every time they land. We also let go the air traffic controller because, I mean, you really don't see him anyway. We also let go of the luggage handlers. And by the way, we got rid of all those pesky people that search for weapons when you got on the plane.
Enjoy your flight.
How crazy is that? Each and every part plays a vital role at an airport. I know this because I used to work for Delta and I would flag in planes. They let a 20-year-old kid flag in a Boeing 757. Can you believe that? I'm out there, and it's in Dallas, Texas at DFW. That's a city in and of itself. And I'm out there. I have never, the town that I came from only had two lanes, all right? I've never seen a plane that big in my life. And they put me out there, and they said, hold these sticks and do this and flag them in this way. And I go, are you out of your mind? That's the kind of training you're giving me? And they said, you're going to do fine. So I'm out there going, I think this way, but I'm not quite sure, you know. It's one of those deals. But I know the intricacies and the detailed jobs that each and every person plays at Delta Airlines. Each person plays a vital role. And to be honest with you, the church has cut costs for too long. It's time that we realize and to bring value back to each and every part, because you guys play a vital role. Well, Pastor, this is my first Sunday. What kind of role could I possibly play? Or, Pastor, I've been I'm a new Christian. I've only known Christ for a week. Or, Pastor, I've been in this for a long time and my passion's gone. I mean, you know, each and every one of you has a place at New Freedom Church and at the church at large. Your talents, your giftings, your story, your testimony, your marriage, whether it be broken, whether it be healthy, whether you're rich or poor, whether you have a lot of time or only time at weekends, each and every one of you guys are valuable to the body of Christ. Each and every one of you. The point is, the small pieces in God's puzzle called the church are just as important as the more visible ones. No one is inferior because everyone is indispensable. This church will never get off the ground if you and I do not do our part. And everybody say, amen. Amen. It's important that when you guys come into the, let me just illustrate by saying this. When you guys come into the church and you go get your cup of coffee, I bet you never say, I wonder who made this cup of coffee. Unless it's bad. Then maybe you say that. Or when you come in, I wonder who cleaned the church. Or I wonder who put the bulletins together. Or I wonder who got the brat fry organized, which, by the way, we raised over $500 yesterday. That's completely amazing. Good job. Way to go. Right? Or I wonder who sets these chairs up on a Sunday morning. I wonder what Pastor Jimmy does, like, after Sunday. Does he, like, disappear? What's this guy do? Well, what does he do for a living, really? I get those questions all the time. It's really funny. I had one person tell me, do you get paid by the government? I'm like, yes. No. No. But we don't think about these things because you guys are playing a vital role. You're playing a vital role. We don't ask who put the sign-up sheets back there. They're just back there. We don't ask about the coffee. It's hot. It's dark. It's good. We don't ask about, you know, all these different things, who mows the lawn, who, you know, who does this, who does that. We don't ask those things because those things are being done faithfully by faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in what they're doing and know where they fit into the body. Well, Pastor, I'm going through all kinds of crazy things in my life, and I don't even know if I even need this. I don't even know if I even fit in anywhere. My life is so bleak right now. I can't see the whole piece. I can't even have peace in myself. Know this, when you're feeling that way, These little knobs are on there for a reason, and that's for you to link up with another brother and sister in Christ who has been there, who has done that, who has got the victory in their life, and you can go to them and say, listen, I don't know how you did it, but I'm taking my peace and I'm linking it with you, and if you'll pray for me, if you'll show me, if you'll teach me, if you'll mentor me, I promise that I will serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength, and you'll find yourself coming up out of that bleak place into a place of promise and worth in your life. We are linked together for a reason. And that reason isn't so that we can take selfies for the rest of our life. It's so that we can take a beautiful snapshot picture of what the church looks like as a whole. You are uniquely designed. The small pieces in God's puzzle called the church are just as important as the more visible ones. No one is inferior because everyone is indispensable. The church will never get off the ground if you and I do not do our part. Next week, I'm going to be talking about how each piece is divinely designed, not humanly developed. Yes, do we develop the giftings and callings of God in our life? Absolutely. Absolutely, but each piece is divinely designed. You have been divinely designed for such a time as this in your life. A few days ago, I was out jogging, and you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you in all kinds of places, all kinds of different ways, and I stopped. I was jogging a mile, and I stopped, and the Lord really laid something on my heart. And I was talking about, don't miss your hour of visitation. He's talking about how Jesus gave a parable about virgins that were going to see the bride and the bridegroom. And that was a big deal in their culture back in those days. And they would take lamps with them because they were not sure when they would come through. And they would also carry with them extra oil so that if the bridegroom did not come when they expected him to come, they could have extra lamp to pour in. And what happened was, is these young ladies burn out all their oil, and they couldn't find oil anywhere. They ran from store to store looking for oil. Finally, after hours of searching, they found oil. Filled their lanterns back up. But when they got back, the bride and the bridegroom had come and gone. They had missed their hour of visitation because they were not prepared when they got there. It's important that we understand that we have to prepare ourselves both as individuals and as the body as a whole to be the church this city deserves. Church, we're in a dark time in our country. We're in a time where all of a sudden one group of people matter. All of a sudden black lives matter. All of a sudden white lives matter. All of a sudden Latino lives matter. All of a sudden and this and that, you know, and we cut ourselves in segments. And when I was sitting on the hill, I saw some of the collages they had up on the wall, and they had this group of people, this African American group. They were out. Wasn't protesting, but they were letting their light shine. And one of the young ladies had a sign up, and it said, "I am not a color." And I tell you what, my eyes began to well up, and I almost lost it right there. Because our country is so deeply divided and wounded. Our country is hurting. Lots and lots of people are hurting. I'll be honest with you, I didn't vote for Barack Obama, President Obama. I didn't vote for him. I've never voted for a Democrat in all my life, but I can tell you this, I pray for my president. He's your president. I pray for our leaders. You know why? Because God told us to. And when he tells us to do something, when he carves that out within our peace, and things that we don't have to pray about, and ask God, do I need to pray for my president? Yes, you don't have to ask God. He tells us to do that. You know why? Because the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. It's important that we be the church that not only Howard deserves, not only Greater Green Bay deserves, but that God deserves, that He gets the glory, that He is pleased with us. Because there's more at stake in our country than just our life and our happiness. We need to let our light shine. We need to allow people to see our wounds and our hurts and our frustrations. People, our society needs to see how a man of God handles it when his life goes to pot. Our society needs to see how a woman of God handles a situation when her husband is being ornery, when he's being absent in the home. This world needs to see children who are praying for their moms and dads when they refuse to go to church. This world needs to see a church collectively coming together and praying over their city when they see that there's nothing that their hands can do, and the only thing they can do is to put their pieces together and pray fervently for their city. This city needs New Freedom Church. This city needs you. Your family needs you to function properly and know where you fit into the body of Christ. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you stand up with me? Today we need to learn that when we put our hands together, we link them together. Matter of fact, let's do this, and this might be borderline weird. But would you guys link with this section over here? Link arms, link hands. Would you guys link right here? Link these sections together. Come together. Same over here. Everybody linking hands. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All those who rise up against us shall fall. Though 1,000 may fall at our right and 10,000 at our left, it will not come near us. May the bride of Christ that Jesus died for be a clear and holy representation. May it be not a laser pointer, but may it be the light that stands on that hill, that shines at that ship that has lost its way. Not in judgment, but directional. That we can shine forth the glory of God so that all may taste and see that the Lord is good. May they taste and see the Lord is good through your life individually. May they taste and see the Lord is good through your hurts and your wounds, through your joys, through the way you've overcome, through your victories, through your trials. May they see the glory of God in the hard places in your life. And may this city, when we come together and we give a thunderous praise and a thunderous worship to our Lord, may this city be shaken by our worship. May this city be shaken by our prayers when we come on Wednesday nights and we lift up our city. May this city be shaken by you. May you lift up the name of Jesus at your school, middle schooler, high schooler. May you stay pure for the glory of God. May you save your body for your husband and your wife, because that's what pleases God. May your light shine when others are gossiping and you are not. While others are bullying, you are not. May you, man of God at work, while others are complaining about their marriage, while others are dishonoring their wife by their words, may you glorify your wife. May you set an example of what a man of God is supposed to be. Wives, may you glorify God in the way you honor your husbands, the way you love your children, the way you run your home, the way you interact with your coworkers at work. May you bring glory and honor to God in every facet of your life, so that He may be glorified. Father in heaven, I come before You with our hands linked, with our faith connected to one another. We offer up to You a sacrifice of praise. And Lord, it's not just with melody, but it's with our heart. It's the way we live. It's the way we talk. It's the way our attitude it's the way we conduct ourselves in our attitude. It's the way we raise our kids. It's the way we treat our neighbor. It's the way we treat the homeless. It's the way we live our lives. May You get the glory of all of it. And Lord, I pray for those that feel like that they are the weakest vessel in this room. Let them know today that they are not inferior, but they are necessary. That we cannot do without them. May they see that they have been uniquely designed to play a part in order that the body of Christ may function properly. Lord, may we get over ourselves. May we cast our egos down. May every trophy that we've ever won in our life be cast at the feet of You. May You be lifted up in my life. May I decrease in order that You may increase in my life. Would You create inside of me a humility to accept my gift? And may You create in my heart a willingness to function in the greater body of Christ. Today, Lord, I give up my orneriness. Today, I give up my comfort. Today, I give up my so-called peace. Today, I give up my little comfortable box that I feel comfortable in. I can do that. I can do it well. And people pat me on the back for it. Lord, I take that box and I dismantle it. And I step out into the great unknown, just like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat onto those shaky waters and he began to walk in the impossible. Would You cause us today to walk in the impossible? Would You cause us to take us beyond our borders? Would you make us feel uncomfortable? Would You cause us to drive us to our knees so that we can be obedient to You? Because, Lord, what You've called us to do isn't always easy. And it isn't always what we expect. That's the beauty of You, Lord. You see in us things that we could not see for ourselves because we've been in our box. And so today we dismantle it. We tear it to pieces in order that we can be that uniquely designed puzzle piece so that we can be part of the body of Christ. If you have your puzzle piece, just hold that up. You can let go. We're going to pray and we're going to dismiss. Lord Jesus, I take this piece and I offer it up to You. I look at it. I look at its color and I don't know where it fits into the greater puzzle. But one thing I do know is that my piece is uniquely designed. And because of that, Lord, I'm going to call upon Your name until I understand where I fit in. And then I'm going to link myself to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to link myself to my local church. And I'm going to serve You with all my heart. Help me to cherish this peace. Help me to honor it, Lord, because you have arranged me according to your good pleasure where you want me to be in the body. And so today, Lord, I honor what you have given me. And more than that, I'm getting busy about what you want me to do. And so, Lord, I honor you today. And I give you glory and honor and praise because you are worthy of it. Father, we love you. And we entrust our lives and our puzzle piece to you, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.